It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Shaka Hislop and Stevie Nichol. Later on in the show, we discuss the possibility of Karim Benzema playing for Chelsea this season. But we'll kick things off with Chelsea's old manager, Jose Mourinho, who was sacked today by Roma. 2.5 years he lasted in Italy. And of course, during that tenure, he would bring them
the Europa Conference League.
The Conference League trophy. And here to explain things much better than I just did, Frank LaBeouf is here and Gab Marcotti. Gab, I thought everyone loved him in Roma.
I think a lot of people do. Certainly the fans, the match-going fans in the stadium do. It's pretty evident that, you know, he'd forged a really special relationship with them. Equally, the people who are paying the bills, the Friedkins, maybe not so much. I mean, they lost something like $400 million in the season before he came and his first season there. He was the highest paid or second highest paid coach in Serie A. They had the third highest wage bill. To make all of this work, they need to get Champions League football. And I think they looked at the table and they said, guys, we're ninth in the table. We're in the Europa League. We can get to the Champions League by winning that, but it's tough. We're only, sixth or seventh favorites in that. There's a lot of good teams in there. Maybe we should make a change. Also because Mourinho's contract was expiring at the end of the season, and Mourinho was keen to extend it, or at least he said he was. And Roma said, well, hang on a minute. Let's wait until the end of the season and figure out whether we want to keep you. And Mourinho didn't appreciate that. So I think they figured better to act now and get it done with.
Right decision, your opinion, Gab?
I mean, I think probably, yeah, because objectively, there's, when you're running a club, right, you're doing it for the fans, and the fans who show up and he's selling out the Stadio Olimpico, and you figure, hey, this is great. They really love him. A lot of other fans had begun to turn on him. And ultimately, though, you're dealing with results. He finished sixth in his first season. He finished sixth in his second season. He's in ninth place now. Of all the managers that Roma have had since 1991, on a per-match basis, he has the absolute lowest points per game of any manager that's coached at least 50 games in Serie A. So you put all these together, you throw in the fact that this is a squad that's filled with veterans and expensive loan signings. I think of Dybala, Lukaku, Leandro Paredes, guys like that. And this is a team that's kind of built to deliver here and now. He's not building for the future. So I think when they looked at all that, they said, it's time to move on. And they're going to move on at the end of the season anyway, unless you reach top four. So they've handed the keys to Daniele De Rossi, who's Roma through and through. It's his first, he had a stint at Spal in Serie B, but it's his first, big boy job in Serie A. He's going to lead them through the end of the season. At the very least, we know he'll have the fans on his side.
Given that dreadful league record, how has he developed such a good rapport with these fans, Gab?
Well, this is one of the things that his critics will say really, really matters, and maybe one of the reasons why, big teams aren't lining up to sign him. It's his style of play. He looks to defend. He's very intense. It translates to his players. The players are always in the referee's face, always looking to get an edge. Like, he's been sent off 7 times from the bench in the last 2.5 years. Everybody remembers what happened at the Europa League final. If you're a fan of the team and he's on your side, this is exciting. You're going deep into competitions. You may not be winning Serie A, but, if you can have a cup run, I mean, crikey, you'll take it. And he delivered massive European cup runs in the 2 years he was there. He might have delivered one this year too. So I think that's why a lot of people spoke to it. He's also been really, really good when he speaks about embracing the city and whatnot. He did that again in his farewell message. So I think that's why fans who are there, they say, wow, this is really entertaining. Others who value results more say, well, hang on a minute. Where are we going with this? And why are teams like Bologna and Atalanta and Fiorentina ahead of us in the table?
When I looked at the odds, Gab, I was not expecting Newcastle to be high on the list of where his next destination would be. But that's exactly how the bookies have it. Quite incredible, really. Has he still got that magic left to go to a club like Newcastle?
I think in the right context with the right coach, I think Mourinho can probably still do, with the right squad and the right owner especially, I think he can still do a job. I don't see him as a favorite for the Newcastle job. I really don't see him ending up there at all for many different reasons, starting with the fact that Eddie Howe's been given a pass, starting with the fact that from what we've seen of the public investment fund of Saudi Arabia, who own 90% or 80% of the club, they've actually tried to grow the club organically and be a bit cautious in their growth. And where he come to the Premier League, you know, he wouldn't just have two teams with higher wage bills than his. He'd have five or six. So to me, this makes little sense. To me, this is just kind of bookies taking a flyer because, you know, those odds came out, what, like an hour after the Friedkins announced that he'd been let go.
Shaka, you said you'd be excited to see him, Mr. James. Yeah.
Okay, all right. Listen, I understand why the bookies would make Mourinho favourite to go to Newcastle United, but I'm with Gavin that I just don't see it happening. I nothing about the ownership and how they've run the club thus far suggests that they'd take a punt at Jose Mourinho.
But look, he's a winner, Shaka. Look at all that.
Nothing that Eddie Howe has done, in my opinion, has warranted an early exit, certainly not at this juncture. Of course, his supporters or his fans would point to Jose Mourinho as being a winner. I've heard that time and time again. But that has eluded him, some context, Europa Conference League apart, in his last two jobs. And if that is what you're relying on, who he once was, it doesn't make an awful lot of sense. And to that point, Newcastle have already tried their hand with a former winning manager in Rafa Benitez, and that went disastrously wrong.
This, of course, is his best moment for Roma. And what about a third stint at Chelsea, Frank?
No, I don't believe this is going to happen. I don't see the board or the fans really keen to see Mourinho coming back to Stamford Bridge. I mean, I want to separate the man to the coach. Well, I met the man like 3-4 times. He's an absolute adorable person. He was. I don't know if he's still. But what I see as a coach, the guy became very, very aggressive, I would say. You know, he changed. And on top of it, as a coach, he didn't bring what he used to bring. That's more than a decade that we see him going slowly into a descent on his skills and the way he performs with the team that is in charge. So he spends money because he's Mourinho, because he has a background, but he's not as effective as he used to be. And Chelsea is not looking for a coach like that, because it will change everything that they plan to do, which is what was wrong. Maybe that will go back to success, meaning experienced players. That's not what they want. They want to go to trading business, so it's not part of the Chelsea plan or the board plan. So I don't see him coming back.
What do you think, Steve?
Do you know, everybody, whether it's a player or a coach, you reach a point where you're past your best. And that seems to me where Mourinho is. You know, we don't associate Mourinho with sixth and line and ninth. Mm-hmm. You know, if you listen to Mourinho, he's a winner, he's all about winning, he's all about being the best. That seems to be long gone. And the fact that you hang on to the conference title, I mean, in real terms, that means that they're the best, sixth best team in European leagues. That's what it means in real terms. If you want to look at it through Mourinho's eyes, it's a European title. But the truth is, it's way down the list.
De Rossi, of course, as you mentioned, Gab, coming in, very much a Roma legend. Was this quite a clever move to appease those fans who have been so upset that Mourinho's left?
I think so. I mean, I certainly you want to get somebody who the fans aren't going to turn on straight away, right?
Yeah.
So it's important to get Daniele De Rossi. His only stint in Serie B was at Spal. It didn't quite work out. But, you know, you're talking about, De Rossi's a special character as well. You're talking about somebody who, you know, only ever played for Roma and Italy. And at the end of his career, when he had to leave Roma, he said, oh, where am I going to go? I know, I'm going to go and play for Boca Juniors because I think it'd be really cool to play La Bombonera. And I'm going to do it and make a fraction of what I was making before. So he's somebody who's very outward-minded. He's somebody who speaks English, which I think also matters tremendously to the Friedkins, which is why they went for Mourinho, or part of the reason why as well. They wanted to have a direct relationship with him. It'll be interesting because, you know, this morning, and this is something the Friedkins have really been criticized for by a lot of people, including Fabio Capello, it was felt that they were disrespecting Mourinho because he basically showed up for training. They didn't give him any kind of advance warning. And they said, no, let's move training to the afternoon because, by the way, we're going to let you go. And so I think that caught a lot of people by surprise as well. I think De Rossi obviously spoke to them before, but De Rossi as well took him a long time to show up. He wanted to make sure he didn't show up at the training ground while Mourinho was still there. But I'll tell you what, if your first day at work matters, De Rossi decided to spend the night at the training ground and will be sleeping there all week just because he feels he's got so much work to do and so much to catch up on.
What can he do there that he can't do in the hotel, Gab?
Cut the grass.
Well, De Rossi lives in Rome. He doesn't need to go to a hotel. No, but the idea is that way your whole staff, you all sleep, you sit there, you sleep together in separate beds, obviously. And then that way you can get up early, you stay up late into the night working. You don't have to waste time fighting your way through traffic in the morning. You don't have the distractions of family. He really wants to hit the ground running because, look, he's got the rarest of things, right? He's a fan who got to play for the club, and now he gets to go and manage the club. And that's not an easy transition.
Would you and Paul sleep over at the Revs during...
Oh, all the time. They used to try and throw us out, Paul and I. As Gab said, he's a different type of character.
Can you tell me that they used to keep tabs on you? Like, you had to just hang around till 5 o'clock just for the sake of it?
No, that was when another guy was in charge.
Right, OK.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't... Gab said he's a different type of character.
Yeah.
I would suggest my own personal thought is to get away from the training ground, to get away from the stadium, I think is better for you because it relaxes you. I believe it relaxes you more and it opens your mind a little.
Uh-huh.
I don't agree with it. These guys that go and do that sort of thing, I don't get it at all.
I'm just
wired differently, I guess.
Can you imagine keeping tabs on this TV, the reports that would come back? I'm not sure I want that job.
Meanwhile, as we mentioned, of course, Roma struggling in the league. Juventus, meanwhile, very much at the other end of the spectrum at the moment. A great run. That would continue today with a 3-0 victory over Sassuolo. Vlahovic with a nice couple of goals. Chiesa would score late on to seal the victory. And it kind of plays into that narrative that is a two-horse race for the Serie A title between Inter and Juventus. Gab, that's 17 matches unbeaten now for Juve. What's changed? What's clicked?
I think, look, the football they've been playing hasn't necessarily improved. They have a whole run of 1-0 victories. But I think what has happened is Max Allegri has finally decided to put his trust in some of the kids, like Kenan Yildiz, for example, who's been tremendous when he's been called upon, but not just him, but others like Miretti, like Nicolò Sicaviglia when he's been called upon. And I think that's really, freshened up the side. It's given them more enthusiasm. And he slowly eased Vlahovic back in. You know, we've seen him scoring the last couple of games, 2 days today. He really wasn't a big part of this team in the first part of the season, even when they were getting those results. And if you get the real Vlahovic back, obviously he's a real value add. He's devastated. Also, if you have Federico Chiesa fit, there's no question Juve can take this down to the wire against Inter easy. Also because, of course, they're not playing European football.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I was going to ask you to percentage it up, of course, in keeping in mind that Juve have, they've got Coppa Italia, obviously, but no other distraction compared to Inter still involved in Europe.
They don't even have Coppa Italia, of course, because they're out of it at this stage, right? So I'm going to go, you'd still favor Inter because I think the 2 points matter. But I think you could look at something like 65-70% Inter, something like that. Oh. Ultimately, Inter are so well-drilled, they've been there before, and have a ton of depth really everywhere, except for perhaps up front. But everybody stays healthy, I think it's Inter. And also, we don't know how long Inter's European run is going to continue.
No, that's true, but a bit positivity for Inter. There we are. Anyway, Milan haven't been able to put together the same sort of form as the top two. However, Christian Pulisic was awarded Player of the Month of December, Gab, just to emphasise his fine start to his time in Italy.
Yeah, Pulisic has been phenomenal. He, you know, in a season in which so many players have gotten themselves injured at different times and in different positions for Milan, he and Reinders and one or two others, you know, he's really been continuous. And there have been games when, you know, he hasn't been a difference maker in terms of scoring or assisting, but he's always put in a shift defensively. He's spoken about it recently, you know, learning how to play on the right-hand side, picking his moments, rather than his customary left-hand side, picking his moments when to come in, working off the ball when not in possession, working on his weaker foot. All these things. Everybody loves his work ethic. He's not the most extroverted character, but he's a real team player. And I think, you know, they're the kind of guy that coaches really, really love. And if I can make it, and if I can correct myself, no, Juventus are not out of the Coppa Italia, of course. They're in the semifinals. They did beat Frosinone. I misspoke there.
That's all right, Gam. I wasn't going to pick you up, even though I knew I was right. Just a reminder, the Gam and Jules podcast is available twice a week. 80% of it is factually correct. You can check out the latest edition of the Gam and Jules podcast, which is available now on the website. Haaland, De Bruyne, Stevie and Shepherd Spy, Shaka and Naps, all great teammates. But what's the perfect teammate for growing your business? Well, that's Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify makes it easy for you to show up exactly the way you want to. Customize your online store to your style with gorgeous, flexible templates and powerful tools. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Plus, Shopify's extensive help resources are there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/FC. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/FC now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/FC.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Right then, Premier League title odds. Manchester City looking good at the moment. Liverpool, meanwhile, are top of the table, but still outsiders when it comes to the bookies at 5-2. What would just appease all Liverpool fans who feel that maybe some of the officials have been against them this season is that our good old friend Howard Webb has confirmed that it was a mistake not to give Liverpool a penalty when Odegaard decided to bounce the ball in his box. That makes you feel better, doesn't it, Stevie?
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, because I didn't know that. Yeah. I mean, it never occurred to me that that was a penalty. Seriously. Tell us something we don't know.
You want transparency from obviously, the referees and everything. Does this really help Howard Webb 3 weeks afterwards saying...
No. If he'd done it the day after or 2 days after...
Right.
Not 3 weeks. That's ridiculous.
Right.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Frank, would you be happy as a player?
I would be even more upset. You know, it's nice for him to say the truth, but it makes you even more angry because you immediately knew that the guy was wrong, the ref was wrong, and he might have been the only one with his friend in the what I call the bar var. We didn't see anything.
You know, it's a bit like Burnley and Luton at the weekend.
Yeah,
if he comes out on Monday morning and says, look, we got it wrong,
right,
and it carries a little bit of weight. But if in 3 weeks' time he turns around and says that they got it wrong in the Burnley-Luton game, look, it's going to be the same thing. You're just making yourself look bad.
And we've seen it, of course, against Spurs, the offside, and this as well. You know, you look at the title race, and I'm sure there are examples of when Liverpool have got away with one. But it's intriguing, isn't it, really?
No, it's not intriguing. It comes into question. Listen, as a referee, I think Howard Webb was one of the best.
Yep.
I really thought he was fantastic. But when he's doing this job, you know, when he's making mistakes like this, then you wonder, you know, we always talk about every occupation, the guy at the top, how he acts, it filters down. Now, his team are making mistakes. And he's making mistakes. So, at the end of the day, he carries the can. So, I mean, he's got to watch his back.
As a player, you accept that the referee's going to make mistakes, right? That's just kind of part and parcel of being human, in all honesty. You accept that, but you want some kind of accountability, or at the least, you want some show of improvement. If you're a Liverpool fan, and I think arguably more so than anybody else in the league right now, you see these mistakes... You see the gravity of them, the impact of them, and somehow you're always on the wrong end of it, and no real signs of improvement or accountability 3 weeks after. 3 weeks after the fact isn't accountability. Mm. That's not transparency to your first question. That's just an admission of a mistake that everybody knew, and it kind of feels like you're only addressing it because everybody's called you out on it, you know? Take some responsibility for it and tell us how things will... If you can't tell us why the mistake was made, tell us how you're going to avoid it being made again.
Go on, Gab.
No, I just want to just stick up. I think it is accountability to admit your mistakes. 3 weeks is, I agree, is ridiculous. But and I wish somebody had asked them, hey, Howard. Because you know what? After 3 weeks, it would have been easier just to say nothing, right? Because nobody's talking about this anymore. We've moved on.
Yeah.
So I want to give Howard Webb the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, but surely that's the
compared
point.
To all those years before when they made mistakes, I never admitted to them.
Gab, surely that's the point.
That's Christmas.
It's better to not say anything after 3 weeks, but he makes the decision to say something, which is the wrong decision. That's the whole point. The guy's just making wrong decisions. And he's putting people in charge who are making wrong decisions. And that's what I'm talking about when I say he's got to watch his back. You know, at the end of the day, the buck stops with him. If I'm a coach and there's something going wrong in the field, and then 3 weeks later I go, oh, by the way, let's do this. They'd be like, hold on a second, why? What's taking 3 weeks?
Yeah.
You know, there's got to be...
Christmas, New Year, everyone has a little break.
Of course. I mean, it's just every time he makes a decision, he's making the wrong one. That's what it feels like.
Well, he's not making decisions. It's not him on the field, like, you know, playing silly buggers in the Spurs game.
His decision to speak up.
It's the people.
I'm talking about his decision to speak up, Gab. His decision to speak up be on the Monday morning. It should be the first thing on Sunday morning when he goes in his office and says, right, we need to address this. And you do it Monday morning. And it's that sort of decision.
I completely agree with you. But there's a procedure, there's a report that comes through. It shouldn't take 3 weeks. I agree with you. If it's not Monday morning, it should be Tuesday night. You know, it doesn't take that long for the report to come through. It's not Howard Webb who decides if the referees were right or wrong. There's other people, the people who observe the referees. But once the report is in, you say, hey, did this guy screw up? Yes. Well, let me go and come clean about it. Let me go and then tell you how I'm going to improve. He can't magic up a bunch of high-end referees. He can't train a bunch of high-end referees in double quick time. There are some good ones. There's a lot that are not very good. There's many who are young and inexperienced. That takes time, given the neglect of the whole refereeing system in England. And that's what he's trying to fix.
Been a bad season for VAR, of course, a bad season for Chelsea as well. Although they're on a good run of late, their best run of the season that's taken them up to 8th in the Premier League table. 9th in the table, sorry. However, they still desperately, it seems, need a striker. Jackson hasn't hit the ground running, and of course, Nkunku in and out with injury. So inevitably, Gav, the January transfer window will see Chelsea linked to strikers. The first of which is Gyökeres from Sporting Lisbon. Is there any chance? Well, we've heard Pochettino say we're not going to bring in a striker. So these rumours are to the contrary to that statement.
Yeah, and I think Chelsea have also privately knocked this down. Look, and I say this with the greatest of respect to Gyökeres, who's having a great season at Sporting Lisbon. He scored, I think, 11 goals. Sporting are top of the table. But this isn't this. The figures quoted in the Portuguese press were 80 million euros, round about 75 million pounds. This is a guy who last season played in the championship for Coventry City here in England. I scored a ton of goals, sure, but he was playing in the championship. Strikers in the championship do not cost 75 million, not when they're 25 years ago. Not when they're 25 years of age. I have no idea where the story comes from. Chelsea have knocked it down. Pochettino said publicly no striker. Maybe we should believe him.
Okay, let's go from someone who played at Coventry to someone who won the Ballon d'Or, if we can, Gab, because there are rumours circulating that Karim Benzema could be leaving the Saudi Arabian League. Let's address those first. Are there any truth in them?
Well, obviously, he fell out with his previous coach at El Ittihad, Nuno Espirito Santo. Then there was an issue because they decided to go, which I thought was funny, they decided to go for a warm weather training camp in Dubai, which is, I think, a rather similar climate, actually. But he wasn't there. He wasn't there because he was on holiday in Mauritius. Right. And apparently there was bad weather and a cyclone, and so he couldn't make his way back to Saudi in time. He hasn't had the best of seasons. I think the difficulty here is he's on an enormous salary, and so it becomes difficult for anybody to ponder that unless he puts his money in his pocket. That's before we get into issues such as transfer fees. So I think he's kind of stuck there unless he decides to, you know, give a whole heck of a lot of money back, or money that he's due to receive in the next 2.5 years.
So any chance, for example, of him going to Chelsea to help out with the striker problems, that's not on the table. That's not even worth discussing.
Pochettino told you they're not signing a striker.
Yes, I know Pochettino said a lot.
Joking aside, you know, we can make fun of Chelsea all we like and the billion and whatever, but they did put together a plan, right, based on young players, big transfer fees but low wages, and they want it all to come together and whatever else, and they've made mistakes along the way. Karim Benzema doesn't fit that. He's not young, he's old, he makes a ton of money. He just wouldn't fit. What are you going to do, bring him in for 6 months? Why? That would be crazy. That would be like bringing in Joao Felix at great expense for 6 months. Surely Chelsea would. Oh, wait, they did do that. But look, no, hey, fool me once, you know, it's not going to happen. It's likely Karim Benzema, if he does give up all this money, goes somewhere else. But I don't think it's Chelsea at all.
Frank, have a word with your fellow countrymen. You'd have him for 6 months when you're at Chelsea?
If I would, or if I, Benzema, I would be happy to see Benzema coming for 6 months. Is what you asked me?
Yeah.
Yeah, it depends what kind of Benzema we would see.
Right.
Is that the Benzema that we saw in Madrid? Or is that the Benzema just coming back from holidays from Mauritius? I don't know. I don't know. I didn't see Karim playing lately. I don't pay attention to the Saudi League, so I don't know the way he's playing and why people are complaining about his behavior on the field or out of the field. If it's Benzema pre-retired, no, I think he wouldn't fit. And as Gab mentioned, it's not on the board's idea, like I explained for Mourinho. You would pick Mourinho. Mourinho would bring some experienced players, which is not the plan of the Chelsea board. And if you make Benzema coming to Stamford Bridge, it's the same idea. You break your plan, and it's not what they want to do. And you have to think about the players who are going to come back. And Nkunku, Jackson, what about Borja? So yeah, you will break something, bringing, yes, a fantastic player that used to be a fantastic player.
What are you laughing at?
I'm laughing at break the plan. The plan's going really well, isn't it?
What? Give it time, Stephen.
Why would you not want to break the plan?
We didn't say it was a good plan. Stevie, I never said it was a good plan. I just said it was a plan.
That's also a sign of bad management. When you've made a mistake and you stubbornly decide you don't do something that would help you.
Right.
That's just a sign of bad management again.
Gab, what's going on? Why are we hearing rumours of these players wanting to leave Saudi Arabia? Benzema, Firmino, Jordan Henderson?
Well, I mean, I think there's different reasons. We've heard stories of them not settling. I mean, I think Al-Ettifaq, where Jordan Henderson is, they're doing poorly. Benzema's had a rough time. I wonder if also to some degree, you know, there's a bit of a sense that they've kind of disappeared off the face of the earth. I mean, it seems that the only time that we talk about these guys, unless it's Cristiano and it's some kind of highlight, the only time we ever talk about the Saudi League is when people are leaving or when people are coming, or, you know, when there's a funny story and Sadio Mane gets married or whatever, right? But you think about their image, you think about their status on social media, you think about their commercial potential. These are stars. And if nobody's talking about them, I mean, certainly not in Western media, but I suspect probably not much in South America either, or, you know, possibly, you know, not much in Africa either, except for Mane, obviously. So, you know, all these things put together, you kind of look around, you're playing in these stadiums. I mean, the Saudi Pro League, their attendances are, they really haven't improved. They're roughly what they were last year, which is less than 10,000 a game, even though many of these stadiums are big. Obviously, the bigger teams draw more, but the smaller teams are really small. And, you know, if you were playing at Anfield a year ago, or you were playing at the Bernabeu, man, this does feel like, man, what am I doing with my life? I only have a couple years left of football. Yeah, I'm making a lot of money, but is this working for me?
Yeah, but it's that lot of money, of course, that drew them there in the first place, Frank. You went to Qatar, obviously, for the money. How much diligence did you do before? But how much diligence did you do before that, aside from the money, as that's your place to live, a league to play for?
Well, I first made sure that my kids and my ex-wife would be happy to live over there, that it was a change of culture, that, yes, for my ego, like I hear for the others, yeah, I will play in front of 50 people where I used to play in front of 50,000. That's part of it. You know that. You have a career, and there is after the career, and the pre-retirement is, it's after the career. When you decide to go to Saudi Arabia, it's not part of your career when you play for Madrid, Liverpool, for big clubs. It's after the career, and you have to accept the consequences of it, especially when you go to countries like that where it's a complete differences of culture. So for Jordan Henderson, for example, I was told that he went on his own without his family, that the family is missing. On top of it, he didn't pick the right club because the club is too far south, it's too hot, whatever. Well, man, you know, get the information before signing. It's not about millions. It's not all about millions. It's about also having a life. And I went to Qatar for 3 days. I visited the country and the city. It's a small country. And I said, well, we go for it. The school is good. The house is good. We know what we're going to face. The weather, a change of career, a change of football. but I signed for it. And I got the money before playing. But as soon as I got the money, I knew that I had duties. So they all know that they have duties. And they don't fulfilling the contract in a way. So you sign for it. You want to play the big time, get in there, getting the money, do the job.
Hang on, do the job, Steve, when you go to Saudi Arabia, all right?
I will.
Make sure you do. Just a reminder, of course, it's quiet midweek in England at the moment. Not, though, next week, as we've got the second leg of those two Carabao Cup semi-finals. They're live on ESPN+. Starting with Chelsea against Borough. Middlesbrough 1-0 up going into that second leg at Stamford Bridge. Meanwhile, Liverpool 2-1 up going into the tie at Craven Cottage. Both games still all to play for a place in the final. Both those matches then live on ESPN+. To keep up to date with all the latest transfer news, I just think Manchester United go for Araujo, considering how bad he's been this season. It sounds about right for 80 million. Be sure to check out Transfer Talk over on the website.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Meanwhile, in case you missed it yesterday, the big talking point was the fact that Lionel Messi was awarded the FIFA's Men's Player of the Year. A reminder that that did not include the World Cup. It was from December the 19th, the first day after the tournament, to August the 20th. Frank and Gab are still with us. Gab, what's the point?
You know my thoughts on whether it's this or the Ballon d'Or. It's silly. Look, it's wonderfully inclusive because, you know, the opinion of the captain of the Cook Islands football team is really extremely relevant, or the guy from the media representative. I'm not, but I want to pick on the
Cook
Islands.
Before we go down this avenue. Virgil van Dijk, Robert Lewandowski, Harry Kane, Andrew Robertson, Mo Salah, all voted for Lionel Messi. So as much as you want to chastise those clubs, those captains, those international coaches for the lower sides, these are big name players. You can't just put them all in that bracket.
Well, maybe they voted for him because they were impressed with what he achieved with Paris Saint-Germain and so well in Ligue 1 in the second, and like, I don't know why they did this. Maybe, look, the criteria are clear, right? The criteria say the person who is the best for their general conduct and their performances on the pitch, right? It doesn't say who do you think is the GOAT. It doesn't say who do you think is the best in abstract terms. You are saying that Lionel Messi's performances on the pitch in that period of time are greater than anybody else, including Erling Haaland or whoever else you want to name. You know, that is effectively what you are saying in voting for this award. I'm going to go out and guess that maybe they didn't really read the criteria that closely. Yeah. Or, you know, maybe they don't like Erling Haaland. I don't know. I don't understand it. You know, if those are the criteria, those are the criteria.
Frank, if you were the captain of France, how much attention would you pay to the criteria before casting your vote?
Well, at least I will pay the attention to that criteria that is after the World Cup. And now we know that Lionel Messi wasn't that good after the World Cup, with all due respect for his career. You know, that wasn't the best time of his career. So I wouldn't put him, you know, and I will, yeah, carefully read what is being exposed to me. And really, that's, I don't know what the captains have done. You know, maybe they don't know how to read, or maybe they didn't read it, let's say. That's absolutely stupid. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Those, you know me about the Ballon d'Or and everything, but that's the worst of the worst. No, come on, pass it up. Mm. Bye bye.
Shaka, you went on yesterday. Would you like to add your two pennies to this?
Listen, I'm with everybody in that it makes absolutely no sense, none whatsoever. And I'm one who felt he deserved to win the Ballon d'Or. And again, that was kind of split down the middle, a little bit of controversy to that. I think the bigger knock-on effect with this, as awful a decision as it is, it now validates everybody who questioned Lionel Messi's winning the Ballon d'Or last year or any of his awards, now only have to point to this and say, see, we told you. Anytime Messi gets extra points just for being Lionel Messi and questions the validity of a number of those individual awards. And so for me, it just... Not only is it stupid, it's damaging in real terms to Messi's legacy.
Right, that's enough. We talked about this award enough yesterday as well. Just a reminder, Extra Time is available over on our YouTube channel. It's where the boys stay late to answer some of your questions. Craig has gone for the extra button undone of late.
Oh.
So he switched
from t-shirts to your
a little bit more. How low will he go?
Yes, well,
Simon Gallagher.
All we need now is a chain.
Right, Shaq, I wanted to talk to you about what we saw happen at the weekend with Iñaki Peña. We talked about it a lot, about if you're going to play a high line, the goalkeeper's got to come out further and play that sweeper role. Why didn't he, and whose fault is that he didn't?
I put it down to Xavi. I think that there's a lot to this in that I heard what everybody said yesterday, and everybody, you're absolutely right. The most rule one of tactics, you cannot play a high line without pressure in midfield. And similarly, as a goalkeeper, you can't come too far off your line or outside of your box if there's no pressure on the ball in midfield, because that just opens it up for somebody to lob you for 50 yards. So without that pressure in midfield, it restricts everything about what Barcelona want to do. And in the end, Peña himself is just left kind of playing a position that, you know, I'm not sure he wants to here.
I don't see how the goalkeeper... Where is he supposed to stand here?
Right.
There's nothing he can do. Certainly with this one, absolutely nothing he can do.
No, there's too much space. If there is 50 yards of space, basically, the goalkeeper can't.
Right.
He can't go. If it's 25 or 30, that's a different ball game. But you can't expect the goalkeeper with the whole half to come out and be in a position where he can actually do something. And the other thing as well, don't forget, how many times do we see goals now from 50 and 60 yards? Mm. Balls being pinged straight into the back of the net because either the goalie's too far up or whatever. That's another reason. That just means that the goalie cannot step out of the box unless he's 100% sure. And as Shaka said, not only can you not step up as a defender when there's no pressure on the ball, the way the game's played today and the way you can kick a ball 60, 70 yards as a goalkeeper, you can't do it either. So that makes it even tougher for the goalie.
Here's the other thing that kind of amazed me with this. If you are playing on high line, you've got to be totally confident that your defenders are far quicker than the attacking players. But you look at those goals, Vinicius Jr. is picking up the ball and between Araujo... Koundé. They are making up no ground.
Yep.
They are making up no ground on Vinicius Junior. Which suggests...
Oh, no,
exactly. It's not even a like-for-like pace. So to play that higher line, not like-for-like pace, no pressure on the ball in midfield, and you're not allowing your goalkeeper through that no pressure in midfield to play 10 or 15 yards outside of your box, you begging him to lose, to concede four.
Frank, if you're an experienced member of this Barcelona side, is there any way in which you could foresee you having a conversation with Xavi to say, look, this is not working?
Yes, you have to, because as Xhaka explained, if your midfield players don't press the guy who has the ball, there is no way that you can play high, because you're going to be surprised like that. Koundé tries to play offside because he already thinks that he's in trouble. So he goes back and then plays the offside because he knows that he's going to be tricked in the situation. So it doesn't work. Of course, the goalkeeper is out of the business. He's not guilty whatsoever in any kind of situation in that matter. It's all about the defense. We have to, if they play high, think about covering each other, dropping back at any time. If you only think about going forward, you're going to be smashed back. And that's what's going on with Koundé. I don't know who played alongside him. We went for the pressure. And try to help the midfielders, but put all the defense outnumbered. That's insane what I saw. I would say it's not thought through, because it cannot work like that.
Gab, they've got Unionistas, as I mentioned, on Thursday in the Copa del Rey. If they lose to them, it's gone, surely.
Yeah, I'm not sure he should be gone, for the simple reason that, you need to finish top four this season. You're still very likely to finish top four if Xavi sticks around. Bringing somebody else in means spending money that you don't have right now with all your financial restrictions. But you're right. If they were to somehow screw it up against Unionistas, and by the way, they nearly screwed it up against Barbastro too. Let's not forget what happened late in that game too. Mm-hmm. So I think there will be a lot of people and who will feel that he's used up his political, his sporting capital at the club. But that said, Deco came out, said it very clearly. He's not going anywhere, and I think it's the right choice. I think you have to stick with Xavi till the end of the season.
So just a reminder then, Atletico Madrid against Real Madrid, as well as Unionistas against Barcelona, live on ESPN+. What an afternoon we have for you on Thursday.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results. Fast. Constant Contact makes it easy to promote your business with powerful tools like email and SMS marketing, social media posting, and even events management. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. Don't know much about marketing? No sweat. Constant Contact's writing assistance tools and automation features help you say the right thing at the right time, every time. Plus, you can send with confidence, knowing your emails are actually reaching your customers thanks to Constant Contact's best-in-class 97% deliverability rate. Tackle any challenge with Constant Contact's expert live customer support. Plus, everything's backed by their 30-day money-back guarantee. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Meanwhile, we saw yesterday, of course, Cameroon draw with Guinea by, it was 1-1 in that tie. Onana wasn't in goal, Gab. Of course, we discussed it a lot that he was going from that Manchester United draw in a private jet, flying to the tournament to play for Cameroon. But in the end, he didn't start. Why not?
Well, I mean, I think, first of all, let's not forget the history of Onana with Cameroon. If you remember at the World Cup, he started, then he was dropped, then he was sent home during the tournament. And by the way, that coach, Rigobert Song, is the same coach who's there now. I think there's a lot of people in Cameroon, including the Federation president, Samuel Eto'o, the Samuel Eto'o, who kind of feel, well, wait a minute. This is not on. You were released X days in advance. You can't just come and go as you please. Look, if you really, really, really love United so much that you need to play against Spurs, that's fine. But you're not just going to walk into the team. This is a serious outfit. We trained together. And, you know, you retired from the national side, by the way, after the World Cup for like 8 months because you were in a huff. I personally think Rigobert Song in Cameroon made the right decision in saying, no, this is not an automatic thing where you get to play just because you show up. And I don't care that, you know, you chartered a private jet to be here.
Oh, there we go. It's like Shaq getting that jet down from Boston today in the snow.
Yeah.
Dedication. We'll say thank you very much to Gab, to Shaka, and to Stevie as well. Just a reminder, Frank will be back as well. Extra Time is next. As we address some of your questions that you sent in, be sure to stay tuned. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Come on, Gab, look up. There you are. Come on. There he is. Well, he was up late, wasn't he? Watching the Eagles.
How did that work out?
I don't know.
I didn't realize. I didn't realize I was in this segment, so.
Wow.
I wanted to see if Nick Sirianni had been fired yet.
Oh. Gab. No, you're definitely in this segment, Gab.
You said cheerio to Gab at the end of the show. You said cheerio to Gab at the end of the show.
All right, detective.
Just too soon.
I thought
that was just after you made up the country of Nambia.
Yes. Yeah. How did Juventus get knocked out of the Coppa Italia,
guys? I knew that was coming.
There we go. Fly, Eagles, fly. What? Right, OK. we talked about this on the show. Should Chelsea bring in Mourinho for the third time? Stevie, would you like that?
No.
I'd love it.
What, just for the entertainment?
Well, yeah, it'd be great.
It would be good entertainment, wouldn't it? Where will he end up, Gab, do you think?
Well, you know, we get to talk about this on the show. I have a hunch. Look, he's turned down Saudi before. I don't think he wants to go to Saudi to chase the money because he already has all the money in the world. I think what he wants is attention and the really big stage. I think where he would actually work and he might get a job is with a national team. His record in knockout competitions is obviously very, very good. And you know, you saw it in reaching the two finals in the 2 years, especially if it's the kind of team that, you know, has a bunch of kind of spit and gravel, hard-edged players, a team of Sergio Ramos's, if you will. I think they'd be ideally suited. What country is that? Stereotypically, an Uruguay, perhaps, although obviously, you know, they're not going to change managers right now. I think he's waiting around for that kind of opportunity. I don't think he wants the Portugal job. He doesn't want to go near there until Cristiano Ronaldo retires for good, but like for real, it never comes back, given their history together. So I think that could be an opportunity for him to still stay on the big stage and maybe, you know, prove his mettle again and get back into the merry-go-round at big clubs.
Stevie, not counting
you know
injury
what, Dan?
Management.
Dan.
Yes, Frank.
I'm sorry, Dan, but I remember interviewing Mr. Mourinho when he was, I don't know if he was at Madrid or Chelsea, when he came over to Los Angeles, and he admitted that the last thing that he would love to do in his coach career is to get the Portuguese national team. So I think that's going to be his goal. So it's tricky right now with Roberto, but But I really think that he can be patient and see how it works during the Euro and maybe jump into the job if he has the chance to.
Stevie, not counting injury management, do you think a player's professional club should have a say on whether or not the player can go out on international duty?
I think it should be up to the player.
Right.
You know, 100%. You know, I don't understand how... I've never understood how the international committees have a say on whether a player can or can't play for his club or his country. And I don't understand this rule they brought in when if you don't play for your club, you can't your country, you can't play the next game for your club. All of these things, I have never understood how it ever was allowed.
And
I really don't understand how the player is not the guy in charge of this. If you don't want to play for your country, then you should be able to just to say, I'm not going and play for your club. I don't believe the club should have the wherewithal just to turn around and say, well, you're not going. I don't believe that. But I think the player should have more say in what happens.
Who was in?
No, it was me, because I'm not sure I understood maybe the question, maybe it's... the committees at international committees asked for the club to release the players is because there were so many discussion from the club to the players to force him to stay and not go to international duties. It's why they put that rules out to make sure that the players would be free to go without psychologically be put into a very tricky situation.
Oh, boo-hoo, grow some.
Oh, dear. Oh.
Seriously.
What do you think, Gab? Obviously, they pay a lot of money for these players.
Well, yeah, so before, I'm imagining sort of comments under this video, people saying, well, the clubs pay their salaries, the clubs should get to decide. Yeah,
exactly.
It's true, the clubs pay the salaries, but... Yeah, but let's not also forget that every 5 years or so, 6 years, whatever it is, all the stakeholders in football, so the clubs, the leagues, the confederations, and FIFA, sign something called the Memorandum of Understanding. That decides when the international breaks are, and that decides the terms of release for the national team. And the clubs and the leagues will always go and make an argument that they want fewer breaks, fewer international dates, blah, blah, blah. And it's a back and forth. But ultimately, they sign this document. And once you sign that document, it's a legal contract. So if a player, in the same way that, you know, an employee might have a right to X amount of paid holiday, equally, these players have a right to go and play for their national sides if selected. It's something that you as a club have agreed to when you sign the Memorandum of Understanding. Frankly, I there's no leg to stand on here.
The Memorandum of Understanding.
I've kind of experienced every side of all this that's going on between club and international football. Now, on the one hand, I totally agree with Stevie. I think the players should have a say and be allowed to kind of negotiate or decide which games are better for them or not. On the other hand, that can be exploited
in that
clubs. Clubs, certainly playing for Trinidad and Tobago, nobody ever wanted me to go back and play. There's a total disregard for your appearances for countries outside of Europe. At least that's how I felt.
Right.
I felt that no manager ever wanted me to go play for Trinidad and Tobago, but I've never heard any manager express that about a player playing for Europe because it kind of raises their stock and their value. So I was always under pressure to miss international footballs. For football games, I was always under pressure to miss games. But then I started my career at Reading and I'm just breaking into the first team, just getting going. And I said to the TFA, I don't want to come back. I'm establishing my career here.
Right.
And they tried to have me banned. They tried to have me banned. And so again, now I'm pushing back. Because I just break into the first team.
Nah.
I'm new. I'm trying to establish myself. I want to say, listen, just leave it for Let's leave it for this time. Mm-hmm. Next time, fine. I played for every single junior national team coming up. You know,
Shaka.
I wasn't going anywhere.
Shaka.
So I totally understand.
Shaka, don't tell me that we are not that naive. So many players have denied going for any international game, pretending they were injured. And there are some injuries that nobody can say that you're really injured or not, like an ankle twist or whatever. And they didn't go, pretending, because it wasn't an important game for the national team. So they pretended to be injured and they stayed with the clubs. And it happened thousands of times, and we know so many stories about that. So the players, is what I want to say, has a word. Of course, he has to lie, but he has a word.
Oh, but Shaka's an honest man.
That's all I'm saying here, Frank, is I'm not discounting that at all. But if I don't want to go and I have a valid reason for that, I should be able to say that. I should be able to say that.
Yeah, but if you open a door, Shaka, if you open a door, you know how the clubs, the coaches, club coaches, is going to try to force the player to say
well,
that.
Then leave, well, then leave the player
say, you know
out.
What?
Well, then leave the player out of international football going forward. Because if I'm that committed to only playing for my club and not, I can retire from international football at any age. And that doesn't empower the national team to ban me. If I retire at 24, I can play club football my whole career and the national team cannot do anything, cannot ban me. I could come out of retirement at 26. I could go back into retirement at 28. I could keep doing it, but it becomes a joke if you don't have some kind of common sense understanding.
Clubs always...
That I agree with
always,
you.
They would always try to get us not to go and play internationals.
Right.
Always. Yep. I can only talk for Liverpool. But if you didn't go, they'd be absolutely delighted. And they would ask you, are you going?
Right.
But as I said...
A bit of pressure on you.
But you hold that aside. That's why I said grow some.
No. Right.
You're not 10 years old. You're a grown man. You can't turn around and say, oh, look, I'm playing for an international team and that's it. You're telling me you can't say that? Come on.
Gab, is it true that Dortmund set the price for Gio Reyna at 15 to 20 million euros? Is that a sign he's definitely moving in this January transfer window?
Well, I think it's a sign that his contract is winding down. I think, he's entering the last 18 months of his contract at the club. And that's kind of, where you can't really charge a lot of money for a player. And, this is, Reyna is what, I think he started one game all season for Borussia Dortmund. Obviously, they've added Sancho to what was already a really, really deep pool of wingers and attacking midfielders with Brandt and Royce and Bino Gittens and Daniel Malin and Karim Adeyemi. And, I mean, there's just so many bodies there that they decide, all right, let's move him on. I think the logical thing, but Reyna would have had to agree to this, of course, would have been to send him out on loan and then, add a year to his contract. Because obviously there's a risk that you're going to lose him for nothing in 18 months. But 15 to 20 million, I think, is probably a reasonable price given the amount of time left on his contract and given his age as well.
Gab, if Victor Osimhen decides to move to the Premier League, next club out of Arsenal or Chelsea, who would be more suitable to his style of play?
Ooh, I think Chelsea would probably be more suitable to his style of play, simply because I think there's parallels between him and Nico Jackson. Obviously, Osimhen is physically stronger. I think he's better in the air. I think he's a far more intelligent footballer, in my opinion, than Nico Jackson, more experienced too. But I think he's much more in the traditional center forward mold. Whereas at Arsenal, from what we've seen from Mikel Arteta, he wants his center forward to go and drop off and link play and participate in the build up and do all these different things that Gabriel Jesus does when he's fit. So I'm sure it's something Osimhen could learn. But he would have to adapt to it. So in terms of hitting the ground running, unless Arsenal change the way they play, I think it would definitely be Chelsea.
If Stevie were playing in today's game, what would he have had the most difficulty in adapting to?
social media, the diet, or the training?
Everything.
Training, easy peasy.
Yeah, training, easy.
The thing is with a diet, though, if I was playing today, I would have been brought up to eat the right things.
Yes.
So that wouldn't be a problem.
Was there anyone at Liverpool that tried to eat the right things and therefore was chastised as a result?
No.
No, everyone was on the same diet.
I do what you
want. Yes.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, basically.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did it change at all during your career?
Well, as soon as started changing it.
Right.
Well, the best example is after a game.
Beer on the bus.
After a game, creates a beer on the bus, and we'd stop at the first chip shop.
Yep.
And that went to no beer on the bus.
Oh.
And it was fruit.
Oh, lovely.
Bananas, apples, oranges.
Was there ever an occasion as one of the more veterans, did you go and ask for beer to be put on the bus?
I did, yeah. I did. We played Nottingham Forest away, which is, I'm going to say, an hour and 25-minute drive.
Yeah.
So on the Friday, everybody had been on it. We go and ask if we can get some beer or what or something, just because it was such a short journey.
Yes.
So I went up to Graham and I said, hey boss, some of the lads, because obviously I wasn't in
there. No.
Not me at all.
You were too busy with your fruit.
Said, boss, is there any chance we could maybe just get a crate of beer on the bus?
Right.
And he looked at me and he went, let me put it this way. If anybody can't wait an hour and 25 minutes without having a beer, then you may have a bit of a problem. And I went, you're absolutely right. I'll let the lads know.
Frank, did it strike you when you moved to England that how different the diet was even to what you'd experienced in Strasbourg?
No, because you know what I signed for Chelsea, the Italians came and they were very strict into the diets, and we got a chef very quickly at Arlington, the training ground, and he was Italian, and it's like Viali who kind of put that with the acceptation of all the team, but especially Regulate, the coach. They went into very professional. I think it struck more players like Dennis Wise, maybe Steve Clark, or maybe Craig Burley than me, because they went into my way more than their way.
But beer is simple carbohydrates.
Right.
So after exercise,
yes,
you should increase your intake of simple carbohydrates.
Oh, there you are, Shaq.
For instance, after a marathon, they hand a beer to the marathon runners.
I don't think they do, Shaq.
Yes, they do.
They only hand a bottle of water.
I wish I'd known. I would have told you.
It's simple carbohydrates.
You're going to come back with sweetness of that.
So you don't need very sugary fruit. You need a good cold beer.
Gab, of course, you spoke to a lot of Italians who made that move from Italy to England. Was there a story that strikes you in particular of how shocked they were at the English diet?
There's a whole bunch, and as Frank points out, obviously I was very close to Luca Viali, so I got his view of what happened at Chelsea's training ground over the years. But it's actually an old pal of Frank's who, I'll never forget this, Marcel Desailly, coming over, and Desailly's talking about how in England people eat baked beans on toast, and he's like, it's sort of like beans and tomato and it's sugar and it's really, really bad, and the English, they all eat it. He was trying to tell us this, except he was telling us in Italian, and I was thinking to myself, I baked beans really are an acquired taste, I assume, especially if you're French. I mean, Frank, I'm assuming you never went through a baked beans phase?
Never. Never.
I
never ate fish and chips. You know what?
I swear I had baked beans on toast yesterday. Bit of grated cheese on top.
I spent 5 years in England and never ate fish and chips. Never.
Oh, Frank. Oh, you're missing out, man. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're missing out. I'm getting hungry. That is it.
We're all going
for beans on toast. We will be back.
Bubble and squeak. Yeah. That was what we used to have at West Ham.
Oh,
great.
Jan and Archie will be joining us tomorrow. Be sure to be with us as well. What's happening tomorrow?
I don't know.
Caribou Cup.
No. It's snowing in France. More FA Cup replays.
I'll be late one of those days.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate is to not search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/FC. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.